B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Thursday, April 2nd. Maz and I on remote. Big Jim Murray setting up in our Town Fair studios back in Dorchester. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Oh, just peachy. Thank you so much. Why don't we pick up the conversation where we left it off yesterday, talking about the release of Cody Kessler and what that means for the Patriots and their quarterback situation. You have any developing opinions as we get all set up here?
So my instinct, and again, I go back to when we first discussed it after they picked up Hoyer, that if they were going to take a quarterback in the draft, it didn't make sense to have three guys already on the roster. Obviously, Stidham's going nowhere, but to have Hoyer and to have Cody Kessler there, to me, made no sense if they were going to draft a quarterback. So I connected to the draft. I believe it is draft-related. I think that that's where they are organizationally. And when I say that, I mean, they're at a spot now where they have to find the next guy. And Garoppolo was his own case, Mike, and I just cite that for because I know everybody knows I love Garoppolo, and I'm not going down the Jimmy Garoppolo hole.
You should mention it once or twice.
Okay, so I'm not going down that hole, but the point is when they brought Garoppolo in, there was a timeline there of Brady nearing the end, and they could then make the transition. This, I think, is totally different, and I like the idea under a deadline, if you will, or under a shorter time frame, you have some pressure to develop the guy now. I like the idea of competition with two young guys. So I feel like it's totally draft-related, and I think the Patriots have now told us that they are going to take a quarterback in this draft.
Okay. You know who agrees? Would be Scott Zolak. I was listening to the Beadle and Zolak program, the Zoe and Beadle show, today on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Catch him on the app as well, 98.5thesportshub.com and the app. And Zoe, to lead off the program, actually had a coherent point A to point B organized take that we could clip and play back. I know it caught me by surprise. I'm like, oh, that actually, you went from point A to point B. That made sense. He didn't divert into anything. Like, he didn't throw in there whether the hot dog's a sandwich or not. Like, he just, it was a sports take. And so, you know, when that happens, you got to take advantage of it. So I think Zoe agrees with you. Here's Zoe today on the Zolak and Beadle program.
Let's talk a little Patriots to start the day. What do you say?
Sounds good.
They made a move yesterday.
They sure did.
They released the third string quarterback on the team, Cody Kessler, out. See you later, kid.
Yeah.
Nice knowing you.
My initial reaction, meh, MEH, right? Because I never expected Cody Kessler to be in there, any sort of the plans, whether
I laughed at you
or starter.
A couple of weeks ago when you even mentioned his name, I said, what are you even wasting time on his name for? He's not going to be here.
They need an arm. This tells you they're drafting a guy. That's what that tells you. I don't think this has anything to do with, ooh, you know what? We've got to really narrow down between Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. No. We're going to draft somebody that falls to us, and we're going to get even better value. That's what's going to happen. This could be like a Hurts-type pick. I'm telling you, this could be like a Jalen Hurts-type pick. A guy that actually threw the ball well at the combine. Not some of these other stiffs like Justin Haber. He'll be sitting there. Yeah, you want another Oregon stiff? Go ahead and pick him. He'll be Paxton Lynch.
Oregon stiff. Here. I like that.
I'm serious.
Oregon stiff.
Guys play with their mouthpiece in and it'll talk to the coaches, look, turn, like a freaking robot. No, thank you. Hurts
okay,
play.
So
there it is. So maybe there was a little grab assing in there. But either way,
Let's talk a little Patriots to start.
Yeah, okay, we're good. So it tells Zoe that they're drafting a guy, so he agrees with you, Mass.
Well, look, again, for him, that is a coherent take, for crying out loud. And look, Jalen Hurts catches my attention as a name for the simple fact that he played for Nick Saban at Alabama before he ended up at Oklahoma. And so, you know, to me, this is a classic Belichick type of thing, that he taps the resources of the guys he knows, and if there's someone that slips to him in a draft and that guy is available, he's going to go that route. So, you know, now again, me personally, I don't love Jalen Hurts. I didn't love him when he was at Alabama. There's a reason he lost the job to Tua in season a few years back. And so now, look, is he a better player now? Is he a different player now? Maybe. I don't know. I like the idea more of the kid at Georgia, Jake Fromm. Murray has mentioned him. To me, those are the kinds of guys I think that are more typical of a Patriots maneuver. And when I say that, Mike, I mean this. Fromm is a freshman. The stock was off the charts. If you remember, as a freshman in Georgia, everybody was talking about this kid like, wow, wait till he comes out. Then, over the last couple of years, whether it be because of Tua or Burrow or some of those guys, I think what has happened is the attention has come off him, and now he's slipped into the middle rounds. Boom. Perfect for the Patriots. If the kid has some talent, look, in essence, that's what they did with Stidham, right? A guy who slipped in the draft, whose stock dropped over a couple of years, and then they brought him in. I see something similar like that.
Okay. So does this mean we got to start looking at the draft again? Does that mean we're going to really look? I've got to learn the names.
Yes.
I've got to learn the difference between Jake Fromm and Jalen Hurts and Harold Fenefesi Murray. Does that mean we got to start looking at the draft? I'm happy to do it because I think we need the content this month, so no problem. I'll dig into it, but is that what that means? You like Jalen Hurts there, Murray?
I like the thought of Jalen Hurts because he would add such a different dynamic to this team and their offense and the quarterbacks that they've had. Like, it's someone that I think would be a good fit for Josh McDaniels because he is one of these dual threat type of quarterbacks, and he could come off as like a, you know, the best case scenario is he's a poor man's Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson, and they don't have anything like that at quarterback and really never have in the last 20 years. So, you know, if you can get him with one of those many third-round compensatory picks that they have, or maybe in the fourth round, take a flyer on him. I like the idea of it.
Okay. I can't get you guys to bite on Cam Newton or Jameis Winston. Have you thought about it for a day? Have I gotten any movement out of either of you on those guys?
No. Murray, you go first.
Yeah, no, not at all. In fact, I mock and laugh that you would continue to bring these guys up. Cam Newton, I get it because he was an MVP and that team went to the Super Bowl. Jameis Winston, I still stand by it. Even if he were to pay the Patriots, I don't want him. I don't want him near this team.
Look, I told you, you keep lumping me in with Murray as it relates to Cam Newton. I'm not against Cam Newton if the Patriots think that Jarrett Stidham needs another year. So, I'm okay with Cam Newton. I think that's a perfect, you use me, I'll use you. We both benefit, stopgap measure. Maybe the Patriots hit something big there with Newton in the short term, and they get a guy that can help them make the playoffs. And who knows, maybe make a run and maybe even go beyond that for one season. But if Stidham is ready, then I don't want Newton. I want the Patriots to start thinking long-term and the future of the franchise. I don't want the stopgap guy unless they think Stidham has very little chance of playing in 2020.
Yeah, so I'm mostly like you guys. Like, I never considered Cam Newton or Jameis Winston. Never really loved those players. I think Cam Newton's got a lot of talent. Jameis Winston is, you know, I never felt, you know, in the same way even as Cam Newton, who I never loved in the first place. I'm not, like, these aren't my guys. But geez, Louise, I hear the you know, just, oh, that's stupid, now they're not going to do it. You know, like, I keep hearing that enough. It's like, well, you know what? Just when you start hauling off like that, they go and do something. And it there's nothing wrong with looking at it from the other side. And the other side is this. If they cost you absolutely nothing and they're more talented than what you have and you were willing to bring back Tom Brady for a year anyway, then – you know, is there a path there? Is there a chance? And, you know, that's sort of the thing that I'd like to explore. And if you can get Cam Newton for nothing and you have no established quarterback, it's something you have to look at. Jameis Winston is a different category. Jameis Winston is, how about this, Murray? They bring in Jameis Winston to compete with Jared Stidham. And if Stidham's better, he plays. And then Jameis Winston is a guy that you just develop on the bench because you're paying him nothing. And he's just here to rehab anyway. So what's the diff? How about in that case?
No, because they've already essentially anointed Jared Stidham. The more I thought about this, I did think about last night. This PR campaign for this kid really began last year, because I remember getting my backup from some of the beat guys that were already writing columns about how good Stidham looked. That's like, all right, like I get what you're doing here. And now it's really been amped up, because now you have guys that have been re-signed as the new leaders of this team to make sure that they're the leaders of this team going forward, because there's no more Tom Brady, like Devin McCourty and Matthew Slater pumping up his tires and referring to him via the nickname. Like, it's already begun. Don't bring in that a-hole who's going to try to make it all about him like he did these 5 years in Tampa and is not going to be paying attention and is going to be disruptive, and you potentially send Stidham going sideways. Just, we know it's Stidham. Bring in Hoyer just in case things go wrong, but you don't need an a-hole like Jameis Winston coming in here and gumming up the works.
So, Mass, so like in that scenario, you're okay with him drafting a guy,
yep,
to push Stidham and be that competition. So if you're willing to do that, why would you not be willing to do Jameis Winston, who, again, the whole parameter is that he's got a nothing contract, right? It's a nothing contract. You're for all intents and purposes paying him a rookie contract, and he fully understands it's not his job or his team. He's here to compete and see what happens. If you're willing to do that with the draft pick, Murray and Maz, why wouldn't you be willing to do that with Jameis Winston?
Because I think he's a lost cause. That's why. And when I say a lost cause, I don't doubt the ability. But yesterday when we were talking about that Bill Belichick scouting report that appeared on the internet, and this goes back to his days in Cleveland, what was the first thing he said about quarterbacks? You emphasize this. What was the first thing he said?
I can't even remember what it was. You caught me off guard.
Decision-making. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Go.
But it's a decision-making position, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This guy doesn't make good decisions. He doesn't make good decisions in his personal life, let alone on the field where he makes even worse decisions. So I just think he strikes me as kind of a knucklehead. And honestly, true. I don't want a knucklehead in the operation. As much as Cam Newton is flamboyant and there are some things that people don't like about Cam Newton, I don't think Cam Newton's a knucklehead. I don't think he's anything close to a knucklehead. Me might be a little bit immature, and he certainly, it matters to him to have some style and that sort of thing. But Winston to me feels like a knucklehead. I don't want him in the operation.
Yeah, never mind the accusations of rape and sexual deviancy off the field. He was a number one pick. He really hasn't changed his attitude, even as things, you know, went along here, and they're bringing new coaches like Bruce Arians. He's the same guy. The attitudes and ego isn't going to change. Someone that you draft in the third or fourth round is going to be humbled. They're coming in. They're fresh and shiny and new. They're not going to come in like Jameis Winston feeling like he owns the place.
Okay. If you know that, then you know that. Like, you guys know his psyche, I guess, better than I do. I know his reputation. The reputations on both those guys are knuckleheady. There's no doubt, Maz. Of course they are. And I don't sell Cam Newton short. He could be a tremendous knucklehead. It sure feels that way here from the outside. Like, I could give two craps about Cam Newton and his, you know, just the way he carries himself. And not my kind of guy. But I'm willing to look past that for talent that comes your way for nothing. Like, that's just what you have to look at. And if their head is screwed on straight, I think those guys that, you know, that you should look at, and I'd be surprised if Bill wasn't. That's all. But I know I'm in the minority, as usual. Oh, that's stupid. Oh, they're not going to do it. Okay, fine. Like, all right, then what should we talk about? I mean, I'd much rather talk about Jalen, you know, these guys and the possibility of these guys than, you know, whatever. And I don't think it's that outrageous, by the way. They released Kessler yesterday for a reason. And the draft's not for another 3-4 weeks. So it doesn't quite time out if they were going to release this guy because they're picking a guy, right? I think they would wait till they got their guy, wouldn't they, before they release Cody Kessler?
You would think so.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I'm willing to, you know, look at it from the other side and look at the other possibilities. And, I don't know, call me crazy. We got Big Jim Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz and I on remote. If you're watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, I've relocated to my basement. My girls are working on a little backdrop for me, but I'm looking at it now. Do we have the numbers backwards?
Sure, yep. Do.
It looks like $2.89.
Yeah, it's not. I'm just seeing that now. It looks like. So we got to figure this out. But, you know, I got this chalk wall. I'm in the basement. You guys have relegated me to the basement. I'm walking around today because I was in my office, right, which is like the nerve center of Felger Incorporated, the power center. That's my office. And it's just the internet connection up there blows so badly. So I'm walking around this morning with, like, routers and cords, and inside of 5 minutes, I'm like, F this. I'm not doing this. I'm not calling anybody. I'm not – no. I'm not thinking around with technology today. You know, I'm not like you people. Technology to me is not a toy. It's a means to an end. So if I got to walk around with cords and routers and boosters, go F yourself. I put out an email last night to everybody, like, what do you guys think I should do? I was hoping Vinny at NBC Sports Boston or someone would say, yeah, we got this machine. We'll drop it off, plug it in, and you're good to go. That's what I was hoping for. But I'm not going to walk around with, like, boosters and cords and downloads. You can go F yourself. So I'm in my basement where the internet comes into the building behind a chalk wall where the kids play with their freaking crayons and chalk and – that's what I'm doing. So that's what I've been relegated to, the basement.
Mike, the answer was simple. I told you this. You tell everybody from 2 to 6, no streaming devices, no cable. You have to play board games.
Oh, yeah,
you have to play Pachisi. You have to go outside and play in the yard.
Try having a house full of women and tell them that. Good luck to you, Stu. Yeah,
I do.
Come in and try that. See how that goes. Yeah, try how that goes.
I personally like your $2.89 internet.
I got to figure out. We're going to have to turn these numbers around. Jimmy, please, you may open the phones for us. We got sidetracked there. You want them to draft a guy? What does it mean? Do you want them to draft a guy? Okay. Would you rather? Here's a question for you. If there's a third guy in here to push Stidham, or the price is right, or there's just another option, would you rather them draft a guy or bring in someone like Jameis Winston? Or if Cam Newton's available, actually come in and start? Okay, your thoughts. 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
He's first overall pick. He's a former MVP. He led a team to a 15-1 record, almost a perfect season. He can't come in here and ride sidecar to Brian Hoyer or to Jarrett Stidham or just be a placeholder. He's going to want a bigger responsibility. He's indicated that on social media. Take it a little further. If we look at that quarterback prototype, the things that Bill Belichick wants in a quarterback, the very last one talks about fundamentals and the ability to have specific kinds of techniques. Cam Newton is at his very best, as good as you could find. But over the last few years, as the arm strength has gone, his inability to throw from consistent platforms and have bad mechanics is what leads to the inaccuracy we've seen with his throws. Doesn't take care of the ball the same way. He doesn't check the boxes. That's why I continue to think we're banging our heads against the wall with circling back to Cam Newton.
Tommy Curran, obviously on NBC Sports Boston. And, banging our head against the wall. I know. No one likes the idea. I never would have liked the idea. But sometimes you got to look at it from another point of view, and that is, I don't know. It wasn't that long ago he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It just wasn't that long ago. And under the right circumstance, does it make sense? Or would you rather just draft a guy? So, Maz, what if you draft a guy and then no one can play? And none of them can play. I'm not interested in 4-12. You understand
okay,
that?
Okay, so this is that's a bigger picture problem. I mean, you know, to me, so I take as many swings at it as I can. And that's ultimately what I'm telling you, is that even if you bring in a guy like Cam Newton, in all probability, it's a short-term thing because he's going to want to make his money. And I'm not telling you I'm against it. I'm just telling you I prioritize it in terms of the long term. So if they don't think Stidham is ready, and that's a big thing for me, okay, because that's to me, that is the question. If they think Stidham is ready, then I think they should go with Stidham. If not, I'm fine with Newton. My priority list is in order: Stidham / draft a young guy, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston would be my last option. And so at the now, the premise that you're offering, I'm not against, which is, hey, if a veteran guy costs you nothing, you can put him under Belichick's tutelage, bring him in and see what you get. Of course, absolutely. But Winston to me is like, that is a desperation measure if they end up there.
Yeah, and I'm a Stidham, like, I was talking about going to Stidham in the middle of last year, for crying out loud. Like, I don't want to get painted as this Jameis Winston guy or this Cam Newton guy. I'm a Jared Stidham guy. I've been saying for months, the best case is if he's ready and he's the guy. Okay? But when an MVP kind of talent comes available for nothing, well, you just go, no, it's Stidham. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't look at it, why you wouldn't consider it, and why you wouldn't, you know, discuss that thought, especially if you're willing to bring back Brady for a year, which they were. They were willing to bring back Brady for a year. So it was their first priority and their first choice to go to Jared Stidham next year? I'm not sure it was.
Yeah, but with Brady, though, you get continuity. With any of these other guys, especially Cam Newton, because he's like a dual-threat quarterback, it's going to be completely different.
Well, it is different, Murray. Yes, it is different. But the point is on Stidham. You know, I'm not sure if plan 1A was to go to Stidham. I think 1A was to have Brady Cave and come back for a year. Let's go to the phones. Dave in Plymouth. Go ahead, Dave.
So, Mike, I get your arguments, but aren't we dealing with a potential truncated season here and two guys, Winston and Newton, who'd have to come in and learn a playbook, which admittedly is very different from other playbooks. It's probably certainly different from what, in Winston's case, what Arians ran in Tampa. I mean, you guys have been talking about how Brady's going to have to adjust to that. And there are no OTAs, no minicamp for now. We don't know when that's going to start up. I think that would hurt rather than help those Winston and Newton. And I think that just from a cost containment perspective, because we don't know how much those guys are going to ask, I think looking at somebody like Jake Fromm or Jacob Eason to fill out the roster is probably what Belichick is thinking here.
Okay, well, Dave, let me just cut you off. Yes, of course, if there's no off season or no training camps, that changes everything. You know, so like I think we got to have these discussions kind of under the assumption that it's just it all things being equal. I mean, that sort of expression. But you started to hit on it. If there is no off season, who's that going to hurt more? Some 22-year-old kid out of college or a guy that's been in the league for however long? I mean, I think it's a bigger detriment to the rookies.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no question that, you know, the learning curve for young players is steep, right? So even though he's been in the operation for a year, to elevate Stidham to a guy who's going to play 16 games and lead you into the playoffs, that's just a huge jump. So, look, I don't like Jameis Winston the player. Okay, the premise I'm not opposed to, but I think plan A should be young guys. That's what I think plan A should be. And I think Belichick thinks he can win with Stidham and that the difference might not be that great from Stidham to someone else that he brings in, even if it is a Cam Newton coming off all the injuries.
So, they're different guys. Newton comes in here to start and be what Brady would have been for that 1 year to give Stidham one more year on the bench. Cam Newton's a starter. I again, not that I can psychoanalyze Cam Newton, but I'd be leery of him as a backup. Right? I don't think he's a backup. So he comes in to start. Winston, if you can tell him this is not your job, you're competing, and Stidham's competing, does that get the most out of both of them? And does one of them pop and actually, you know, give you more than they would have given you? I mean, that to me feels more like a Belichick kind of move. I don't know why you'd rule it out. Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe. Joseph. Oh, my fault. Go ahead, Joe. You're up next to Felger and Mass. You're on the air. Did you hit him, Jimmy? I froze up. Line 4, Joe in New York. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I also want to go with Stidham if he's ready, but if he's not, I don't think that the Patriots should draft a new quarterback to compete with Stidham. I think they should bring in a proven guy, and I think Cam Newton is perfect. I think we're actually kind of underestimating his talent. Like, I can't believe people wouldn't want to bring him in on good money. The reason I want to go with a proven guy over a draft pick is because I'm a little questionable of Belichick's ability to prognosticate talent at the quarterback position. I mean, they drafted Brady 199. I know that he fit the description of Belichick's ideal. Yeah.
How about Garoppolo, Brissett, Stidham?
How about Mallett? I mean, I know Belichick had that scouting report that said
fair. So, but why do you go to Mallett and not Garoppolo?
You know, you got me there. It's a spotty record, and we already have Stidham, who's an unsure thing. I would rather go with a proven guy over another unsure thing.
Okay, so fine. I mean, I just think everyone's draft record is spotty. This is true. Belichick is not nearly the GM that he is the coach. No one is. The draft's really hard. And Bill's had his ups and downs like everybody else. But I think he's had some success here at the quarterback position the last, I don't know, whatever you want to say, 5 years or so. More than anyone else, I would say. So I'd rather have him making the call on the next guy than anyone else. So even with Ryan Mallett and Rohan Davey and all of that, I'd rather have him making the call. Cam Newton is not here to compete. Cam Newton gets the job, right? That's the difference. Cam Newton is, I agree with you, you're asking for trouble if you bring Cam Newton in and he doesn't get the job. Trouble. So it's, they're different on that. Cam Newton ain't competing for anything. I mean, I might, you know, have it be a quote-unquote competition, but, it, you know, everyone's going to know it's Newton's job. And I'm still not, and look, I'm not doing that unless he works with you on the contract big time, works with you on that contract big time. But if this means that most people agree, most people think that the Cody Kessler move means they're drafting somebody. If they're drafting someone, we have to start looking at the draft, which is typically not a strength of ours. So let's get help on this. We'll look at some of the draft quarterbacks for the Patriots with Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's get some help with this. Let's dork out to the NFL draft. Generally, I'm opposed to this, but Pat's going to draft a quarterback. Not like we have anything else to do, so we're going to dork out to the NFL draft this year. Screw it. Let's bring in Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. Not that he's a dork, but he's pretty good with the draft. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing great. You know I love to dork out on this, Mike, so I'm happy to help.
It's okay. I'm a sports dork, too. It's just not my the draft just ain't my area of dorkdom. But anyway, you tell me, Phil, you think that they the move yesterday signals they're drafting a quarterback or signing a quarterback or what?
I think the move to get rid of Kessler just frees up a little bit of cap space. It's really not even that much, but they're so up against it that I think they know, okay, if we want to draft somebody, there's actually a relatively deep class that goes into the third round where we have a bunch of picks, and we can maybe add somebody to the mix here who will give us just as much in 2020 as Cody Kessler would. And in the meantime, we can free up a little bit of cash. That's what I thought when I saw that move yesterday.
You think that was a cap move, isn't it? I mean, don't they? And again, this gets so dorky, but isn't it? Aren't they on the thing where it's the top 51? It doesn't matter anyway. They cut someone for $600,000, and the next guy who makes $600,000 just comes on the books. I didn't think it netted them anything.
I think they actually pick up a couple hundred thousand, Mike, which when you're $1 million under, it might help at some point. I mean, they have to just figure out how to clear as much space as humanly possible. So I didn't take it as we have a move that is imminent here that they're bringing in a veteran. I do think they look at the draft, though, and they see a handful of guys that are going to be there, like I said, bottom of the third, into the fourth, maybe even day three guys that they look at and they say, okay, we know what Kessler is. If we really wanted to bring him back in a month or two, we probably could do it. They lost him last year and brought him back. Then, you know, it just frees up that roster spot. It frees up a tiny bit of money, and it just allows you to look at this quarterback class and say, okay, who do we want to be our number three?
Okay, Phil, if that's what you're looking at, third round, third, fourth round, give me some guys that you like that you think they might like.
So the one guy that a lot of people know the name and who will be available where they have that little cluster of picks at the bottom of the third is Jalen Hurts out of Oklahoma. And it feels like he's been a riser since the combine, really. I think he just met with a lot of teams and impressed them, from what I understand, with his football IQ and how he just handled himself in the room and sort of has a presence about him. He won a ton of games in college between Alabama and Oklahoma. Obviously, he lost his job to Tua Tagovailoa, but I think the way he handled that situation actually impressed a lot of people. And Tagovailoa is a more talented guy, there's no doubt right now, at least as a passer. But when you look at the character stuff, the makeup stuff, and the athleticism that Hurts has, and would sort of just add that element to whatever offense he goes into, I think there is a lot of value there. And I think he's developing as a passer. He went from Alabama to Oklahoma, where obviously they just love to throw it around the lot, and they have a pretty complex passing scheme there, even though the defenses they face aren't great. So I think he showed enough improvement last year that people are looking at him now and saying, okay, his best football as a passer is still ahead of him. Plus, he's got all of this running ability that we could add. Plus, we're going to add him to the room, and he's going to be a net positive as far as what we're looking to bring in terms of character.
Maz, you got a thought?
So, Phil, do you eliminate the possibility that they could take a quarterback in the first round? Because I know that a lot of people, myself included, do not want them to do that. And what do you specifically think of the Hurts idea?
I like the Hurts idea because of where you would get him. And because I think it's competition. I think it's you throwing another dart at the board and you're just taking a chance. The first round idea I don't love, because I think if you really want to evaluate Jared Stidham, you have to try to surround him with something. That's why I also would hate the idea of them trading Julian Edelman if that ever came to be. But I think you need to draft somebody in the first round that'll at least help the situation for Stidham. Again, if you want to get a good look at him, if you want to tank, which I don't think they're doing, but if you want to tank, then go ahead and tank the thing. But I would add a piece that will help them offensively that's not a quarterback in the first round. If they did want to go into the first, because they look at this group and there's really a top four, and it's Burrow, Tagovailoa, Herbert, and Jordan Love from Utah State. If they see Herbert or Love slide a little bit, and I think that's definitely possible, maybe they look at it and say, okay, here's our opportunity to get a guy who in another year might be a top 10 type of talent, but he's sliding, and maybe they don't get all the way to 23, but maybe for the Patriots they start to slide and you can creep up to 17, 18 and add a piece.
Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. If you were the GM, do you like Love? Do you like Herbert? Would you take them in that range, 23?
I wouldn't. It would be a little bit too rich for me, but I do love Love. I mean, like the idea of moving your quarterback position into 2020 and beyond with the skill set, the requisite skill set to succeed in the NFL, I think he has it. When you talk about somebody who is athletic enough to move around the pocket, buy himself time, and make throws to any area of the field, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a name that gets thrown around a lot with Love, and I don't think that's fair because Mahomes had a much better final season at Texas Tech than Love did last year at Utah State. But that's the type of skill set generally you're talking about. Somebody who is not Lamar Jackson in terms of his ability to pick up yards with his legs, but can escape that first rusher, throw from off platform, quote unquote, off platform, throw deep down the field, throw accurate to the short area too. I mean, the arm talent is tremendous. You watch some of these throws, and you just sort of squeal. If you're a football fan, you look at some of these and you're saying, how is this guy putting the football in these places? He had a lot of deficiencies when it came to the talent around him last year, and so the numbers were horrible, horrible. But if you look at his 2018, if you're the Patriots, you say, okay, if he's there at 23, if we're getting that guy that we saw in 2018, that might be the guy moving forward.
So, okay, Phil,
you actually squeal? Like, what does that sound like when you squeal?
Yeah, like, you know, you just get really excited. Like, you know, like,
I hear you. Yeah, no, I know. Draft nerd squealing.
Yeah, like you see like a giant tub of hand sanitizer, like same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't squeal. But when you describe that kind of quarterback, Phil, who's, you know, the mobility factor, I think that's the kind of guy McDaniels wants. It feels to me like McDaniels wants a guy that can move around. What kind of input do you think he's going to have in this thing?
I think he'll have significant input, and I think there are two schools of thought when it comes to just what's important at that position moving forward, because a lot of guys will tell you, listen, quarterbacks are just so inconsistent across the board, across multiple years. You can look at it. Guys are just plain and simple inconsistent. You can't predict how they're going to perform under pressure, right? Under pressure, no two snaps are the same. It's really hard to use how a guy performs under pressure, meaning, you know, not the situation of the game, but when there's a guy in his face. How they handle those situations is very hard to predict from snap to snap and from year to year. So some guys will look at it and say, tell me how a guy performs when the situation around him is perfect, because that is repeatable. And if we can protect our guy and if our receivers can get open and he can execute in those situations, that's what we want to know, because it's our job to surround him with talent at receiver, at tight end, on the line to help him succeed. Under pressure, it's great if he can succeed, but odds are he's not going to be able to succeed next year. And if he's good this, you know, if he's not good this year, he might be good next year. So there are two schools of thought saying where, okay, number one, you might not care about how mobile a guy is because you just want to see him perform in those perfect scenarios. I think more and more, and from people that I've spoken to this offseason, people much smarter than me, they're starting to add that athleticism portion of it, Tony, to your point, as a more significant piece. Pressure is inevitable in today's game because the defensive linemen are so fast, so athletic. The schemes are more complex. You're going to have to be able to make the first guy miss. And so I think, like I heard you guys earlier talking about that Bill Belichick scouting report on the quarterback position. One thing you didn't really see in there was athleticism, mobility. I think if you ask Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniels today, they would include that portion into that type of scouting report, that type of write-up in terms of what you want at that spot. You have to be somewhat athletic to make that first guy miss and then make a throw. And I think somebody like Jared Stidham has enough athleticism to do that. I don't think you have to be Lamar Jackson to fit that mold, but I think you do need somewhat of an athlete. I think McDaniels would be excited to have a guy like that.
Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, be honest. What did you think of Jared Stidham coming into the draft last year? Is that someone that you talked about, liked, didn't like? And if I could dial you back to a year and say Jared Stidham was going to be the Patriots starting quarterback in 2020, you know, how would you feel about that? What would you say?
I did like him last year. And just speaking to a lot of people leading up to the draft, there really was no question about his talent, right? You know, even big-time draft media guys, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, you know, Jim Nagy, the former Patriots scout who runs the Senior Bowl now, they would tell you the arm talent that Stidham had last year was just as good as anybody in the class. The question is, when he was under pressure, when the bullets were live, how did he perform? And it did not go well at Auburn in his last year at Auburn. But the year before, he actually had a very good year, and he was projected to be a first-round pick after his first year at Auburn. But things fell apart. So the next season, the coaching wasn't as good. He lost a bunch of guys, offensive line. Kerryon Johnson was a big part of that offense, lost him too. So there were people who were looking at Stidham and saying, this is a talented player. The situation was horrible, and that's the reason he falls to the fourth round. And so it's not necessarily hindsight to say, you know, hindsight being 2020, to say, well, this guy's not a typical fourth rounder, because I really don't think he is. And so if you had told me a year ago that he was going to be the Patriots starter in 2021, I would have said he must have really impressed some people in his first year, because the talent is there. And we know physically that he can do a lot of different things on the football field that not many people can do, but he would have had to impress people in practice, in games, in terms of how he dealt with pressure and how he dealt with guys actually coming at him, because I think the previous year at Auburn, it was set up pretty well for him to succeed, and he did. So now, listen, you look at it, and if he's the guy moving forward, and I think he's going to be, I think it's a good situation for them, because if you strike rich, if you find a guy who has talent and can be the starter, and he's on a rookie salary, like, you found gold in today's NFL. Look at all these teams that have built around young, cheap quarterbacks, and how they've built their teams, and how they've built, you know, 2-3-4 year runs around these guys. If he sucks next year and he was your starter in 2020, then I think you have a real crack at the best guys in next year's draft. So I think that's probably the best way to proceed if you're the Patriots.
Okay, Phil, final question. Who do you have the Patriots taking at 23 in your latest mock draft?
Our latest mock, I haven't taken an offensive lineman, believe it or not. Trading down and taking an offensive lineman. It's the sexiest mock draft you could have ever come up with. I think, because at this point, if you're the Patriots, are you really trying to win a Super Bowl now, or are you trying to build a young core that can carry you into whatever this next iteration of this franchise and this roster and this team is? I think you want to just try to add as many potential cornerstone guys as humanly possible. This is a really deep offensive tackle draft. There could be 5 or 6 guys that go in the first round. And so rather than, say, try to draft the next tight end, the best guy's probably Cole Kmet this year, but he's probably somebody who should be taken in the second or the third round, not the first. Instead of doing that and reaching, I'd rather take the offensive tackle who has the opportunity to be a franchise guy. So I had them taking Houston's Josh Jones, who, again, is one of these four, you know, 5 or 6 guys who could end up going in the first round. He's a good athlete. He's blocked in a lot of different style run scheme plays, which the Patriots like to use, gap schemes, zone schemes. He's really effective there. He only allowed 4 pressures all of last season. He's a 4-year starter, had a bunch of coaches at Houston that didn't really know what they were doing, so it feels like he's still pretty raw, even though he was a 4-year starter. So maybe his best football's ahead of him. So I really like him as a prospect. That's who I had them taking at 23.
Phil, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Take it easy, dude. Maz, trading down for an offensive lineman. You actually like that.
So, look, not the trading down part, but I think they need offensive line help. I'm worried about Andrews, and I think that they need to draft a guy that, you know, can play center or, worst case, can kick over to guard, and then maybe you trade Tooney, you sign him and trade him or whatever. You figure that out. Or you just play 1 year with him under the franchise tag and get out. But I'm worried about their offensive line. I think their offensive line sucked last year.
Okay. Back to your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Mazzarotti.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He has started 70 games in his career. He's thrown 88 interceptions.
Yeah.
88 interceptions in 70 games. Here's what I will tell you. You ready for this? You know what the best situation for him is? The New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. Do we not rave about Belichick maybe being the greatest ever? Mm-hmm. If anybody can sit up there and have an iron fist on him and teach him not to knock Bruce Arians in any way, because I know Bruce Arians is damn good. But what I'm saying is we talk about Belichick in a different
light. He's not a Belichickian kind of quarterback.
I know that. But what I'm saying is he needs to become one.
Right.
The point is that who better to teach him? Because Belichick, the number one, the primary thing is don't turn the ball over. I don't like
he ain't gonna be averaging five.
The primary thing,
Bruce Arians calling Belichick nice swap right now.
The primary thing is not turning the ball over. Belichick gonna do something to you. So the bottom line is, if that's what Jameis Winston needs most, I think New England's the perfect place for.
Ah, Stephen A. likes Jameis Winston to the Patriots, huh? Interesting. If I'm being honest, too, Murray, we manipulated that sound just a little bit.
Of course you did.
Well, here's the thing. The sound was from, like, March 6th or something. And so it was before they lost Tom Brady. And Stephen A. was saying, if Jameis Winston's a backup. If Jameis Winston. So we took out a couple little lines there where Stephen A. says, and he's backing up Tom Brady. And so we just sort of clipped that little part out of it. But... So let's just say he backs up Jameis Winston, and not Jared Stidham, and not that he would love it, but that's the parameters. If you're willing to bring in a rookie and draft a guy from out of nowhere to come in and push Jared Stidham, and like, why wouldn't you just put Winston in that same spot if he's willing to work with you contractually?
I don't think that he is going to be willing to change his ways, and I think that he is a potential danger off the field, and I don't want to have to deal with that. As a fan of the team, okay, it would be good for us in terms of sports radio fodder, but I think he's too problematic off the field. So, no, I don't want that. I don't think the team needs any of that kind of distraction now that they've moved on from Tom Brady and they essentially have a rookie at quarterback.
Okay. So listening to Stephen A., here's what I've settled on. Jameis Winston, the Patriots, is better for Jameis Winston than it is for the Patriots, if that makes
sure.
sense.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Because I do think that if he has any chance of ever developing into a quarterback who can minimize mistakes, okay, they all make them, nobody makes zero, but a quarterback who can minimize mistakes, if there is any chance of that whatsoever, his best shot is with Bill. And I think if I'm Winston, I would be willing, especially having been a number one pick. And, you know, you got some money up front. Even if the deals aren't what they used to be, you still got some. I would want to go play for Bill and say, here's a guy who can actually teach me that I can learn from. It makes all the sense in the world. I personally don't love the player. He'd be my last choice.
Yeah, for both these guys, it's about your next contract. And this is just your place to jump off and do the best you can on your next contract. Mike in Rhode Island, your thoughts on Jameis Winston.
Hey, Felger, what's up? I definitely got to bring in Winston. I know Murray and Maz don't like him, but I just was looking up Brian Hoyer. Last 13 starts that he started, 0-13, the last 18 starts, 1-17. I mean, you and Maz mentioned something last week that like Hoyer could be like the starter. I mean,
no,
you're gonna bring in Winston.
So that was me. I think Bill would win with Brian Hoyer. Is he 0 for his last 13? Is that a true number? Is he 1-17?
I gotta look that up. That's too good to be true.
Is he 1-17 in his last 18 starts? Is that a true number?
Let's look that up. He's old.
Oh, my God. I mean, that truly, he does put to the test that Bill can win with anyone. If those numbers are true and Bill can turn those around, Bill can win with anyone. I still think he could win with Brian Hoyer, though. Chris in Boston has us on hold. he'll get us back. Here's Aaron in Washington, D.C. on the Patriots. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Mike. I just have a quick thought about the new NFL playoff format and wanted to get back to what you were saying yesterday about how the Patriots might not have won an 0-1 in 2018, the last Super Bowl. I definitely think that's true, but I also think going forward it's going to be a lot harder for dynasties because getting that second bye was so critical to the Patriots, and teams will have to get that number one seed or have to play another playoff game. So do you think measuring quarterbacks by Super Bowl rings is the most fair way to do it moving forward? I'd love to get your thoughts. Thanks.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, if you're using one stat and one stat only, caller, then there is no fair number, right? Like, because that just doesn't paint the complete picture. It's just so it's – there is no one perfect stat. There's no one perfect stat. So if I had to judge quarterbacks on anything, I think I would still go with Super Bowl wins. I think I would. Because it's the final exam. I mean, if I can only have one, I mean, let me say, let me just turn the argument on you. And that is, you can only use one stat to determine who the best quarterbacks are. Only use one. And you can't use Super Bowl wins. Then what would you use? What would you use, Maz?
Playoff wins for me.
I would use, I would use playoff games and record. In other words, I want to know how many games he got in the postseason and what his record was.
Winningest all-time playoff quarterbacks. Let's see what that list is. I bet there's going to be names on this list that make you want to retch. Brady has first at 30. Montana's second at 16. How's that for a gap?
Wow.
Brady at 30, Montana at 16, Bradshaw at 14, Elway at 14. I mean, Bradshaw doesn't belong in that list. Bradshaw doesn't belong with that number. He doesn't belong with those guys. So there's no – Peyton Manning is fifth at 14. He's tied. I'm sorry. My thing just cut off. So Brady first at 30. Montana second at 16. Like, wow, right? Montana was 16 and then tied Bradshaw, Elway, Manning, each with 14. Favre and Roethlisberger next on the list with 13. I'm sorry. I like that. I don't – but Joe Flacco's in the top 10 with 10. Like, that's the problem. There is no one stat. So what do you do? Like,
better than Romo.
Better than Romo. Flacco better than Romo. Yeah. I see you going back to yesterday.
Yes.
You know you can't do that to me, Murray. I it's one day at a time. we continue with your thoughts. A couple of the things that we want to get to, including a follow-up on the Stephen Belichick conversation from yesterday. If Stephen Belichick is your next coach, how do you feel about it? If Stephen Belichick is your next coach, how do you feel about it? I have a sense I know how you feel about it, and I want to discuss it. Because I think there's a topic there. Big Jim Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios. I'm from my basement. I've moved because I'm so effing sick of trying to figure out how to get my camera and everything. And it's all cocked up today, isn't it? Isn't it all screwed up today, the whole thing?
Yeah, like at least you got the logo pointed the right way now.
I mean, like, our audio is all off. I've gone to the room with the best internet connection. I've given myself a black background, the chalk wall down in my kid's rec room in the basement. We're trying to figure out some logoing behind me. It is flipped the right way now. Does it look the right way now?
Yes, it does.
Is the 5 okay? Move your head. What's wrong with the 5? It's still 98 point S?
Yeah, we got to figure this out.
No, that's a 5, Murray. What the hell's wrong with you?
That's a 5?
That's a 5. That's a 98.5.
Oh, this whole thing aggravates me. What, why can't a tech guy just come here, give me a machine, plug it in, give me and like that's it. Like, come on.
I didn't need a tech guy to come to my house.
Man, of course you don't, because you like dinking around with technology. Like, it's like toy. It's like a toy for you. You get to play with it, which is like most of you guys.
Is that you're stupid.
No. Well, that too. But what it mostly is that technology for you guys is like your toys. You get to play with your toys. For me, technology is not – it's a means to an end. I don't want to play around with cords and downloads and video camera. Like, for example, Vinny says, like, change your mirror mode on my camera. So, like, for the last hour, I've been trying to find my camera function on my computer. I can't find it. It gives me everything else other than camera. Everything else other than video. Can't find it. Can't find, but like most of you, you would love it, Maz. You would take your pants off and pleasure yourself trying to find the video mode on your computer and then adjusting the settings. Like, that to you is fun.
No, it's got nothing to do with it. I want to freaking kill myself. No, it's got nothing to do with fun. It's just got the willingness to actually learn something that is, new. And I have maybe a little bit, progressive. How about that?
Zero interest in learning at this. Zero. 0.0.
But they send the tech guy out to my house?
Yes.
You want him to bring you lunch, too?
Yep.
What else do you want?
Well, no. I don't need lunch. I'm super close to NBC Sports Boston. They've got that place. Have you seen that new building they have? It's freaking massive. They have everything you could possibly need. There has to be some tech guy there who can just grab one machine, walk it to my house, drive it to my house. I'm like 4 minutes away. Plug it in and let's go. Like that. Like I that has to exist. Meanwhile, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just. Do you need the tech guy to wipe the fingerprints off the lens too? Like,
So that's another one. I've got like fingerprints on the lens, and so what? I keep rubbing the freaking, you know, camera. Like, it's just absurd. This is ridiculous. This is not what. No, no. Like, I can't. That makes me so freaking nuts. I can't tell you. Oh my God, it's
Mike,
so
the good
annoying.
News is your line on radio sounds crystal clear.
Okay, either way. Steven Belichick is your next coach. How do you feel about it? Your thoughts after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.